Welcome back, Fins Nation. This is your boy, Fins Mechanic, here at Inside Leverage, Miami Dolphins fan-sided podcast brought to you by Five Reason Sports. Now, be sure to follow and tune in weekly so you'll never miss a snap. We got all the latest news and updates. Before we get into it, I'd like to introduce my two hosts, French and Wally. Welcome. How you guys doing?
I know I'm doing better than French over here because I'm a real trash person, so I'm excited.
French, he's calling you out, man. He say you ain't trench, man. You ain't the trench leader. All that is cap.
It's all cap. That was just him, Jonathan.
You know, they say mechanic imitation is the best form of flattery. You know, I built these trenches brick by brick, and for somebody to come over and say he's not selling you
Shut it.
But good to know you're with the trenches, Wally. I'll go ahead and give you a recommendation, get you ranked up. So
certainly felt like a trench type of draft, man. Something definitely what we needed, man. But I wanted to kind of get your overall thoughts. But before then, I'm going to recap all the drafted players that we got from 1 through 7. So without further ado, we'll begin at number 13. Kenneth Grant, D tackle from Michigan, was selected. Round 2, Jonah Savanea, offensive guard from Arizona. You have number 5, Jordan Phillips, D tackle from Maryland. Another 5th pick, 150th pick, Jason Marshall, cornerback from Florida. The 3rd, 5th round pick was Dante Trader, safety from Maryland. That's from the Denver pick. Your 6th round pick is Ollie Gordon, running back from Oklahoma. That's one of my favorites. 7th round with a 231 pick, Quentin Ewers, quarterback, Texas. We got our 3rd potential QB to compete for the QB2 spot. And then lastly, our 253rd compensatory pick, Zeke Biggers, D tackle, Georgia Tech. A trench-centric draft for the 2025 year. Guys, what do you think? I'll start with you, French, since you're the apparent leader of the trench gang. What are your thoughts on the overall draft?
Well, Mechanic, I appreciate that acknowledgement. What I will say is over the overall draft, specifically with the trenches, I like the aggression. I like the take of the defensive tackle over the offensive guard to emphasize that point of contact right next to Zach Sealer to fortify that defensive line. You got pieces on that offensive line, but you really needed pieces on that defensive line. You were able to fortify that defensive tackle position, and then you were able to spin the block and then go get you a guard from Arizona. Listen, I look at that guy and he just oozes charisma. He just oozes, gets it done. And then you look at the other picks that we've had, whether it was the cornerback from Florida, I like that position as well. But I want to talk really quick about Gordon Ollie Oxenfree. Listen to me. This guy, I did some research and some scouting, and I went to some of my sources that know very familiar with this guy, and they said, given the offensive line, this guy could run between the A and B gaps very effectively. I think of trench play, that running back, and that trench play mechanic is going to pay dividends. This is an overall home run for the trenches, for the offensive side and the defensive side of the ball, Mechanic. So when you ask me about the trenches and you ask me about Grant, I'm Grant that I'm happy that we're here. Wally, how you
doing? It's bars, straight up bars, right?
How many corny lines are you going to say? But like, how many like punchlines are you going to see? Like a 70s old school rapper. The hip, Ollie Oxenfree.
Hey, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I ain't going to lie.
You guys are just dads. And they're talking to little kids or they think that's mad corny. Ollie Oxenfree. Are you kidding me right now?
Are you kidding me?
Grant. I hope you grant me a wish. No, stop. Grant, I hope you grant me a wish. Get a genie in a bottle. Is that what you're going to say next time? Is that your next bar? Come on, man. I'm done with you guys. Let's talk about this draft, though. And we're going to talk about the whole draft of guys, too. I'm excited because I got a couple guys that a couple of my targets was drafted. You heard me talk about Mr. Trader. I watched him in the Senior Bowl. The kid is rangy. He's a center fielder. I think we're going to be able to play the three safety things that Weaver likes to do. So I'm really excited about that pick. Jordan Phillips. I know we remember we had a Jordan Phillips here, and it's not the same Jordan Phillips. This guy's a boy. And I think that's a really, really good pick for us, too. I'm not going to lie to you, whether you're not Trench, as a Dolphin fan, just pure Dolphin fan, and you see how we've been getting dominated on both sides of the football, you like this draft. This draft is what you wanted to see. We didn't get cute. We got a bunch of wide receivers undrafted, but just draft, we went just meat and potatoes, nasty football. You would think we were like an Eagles, a Steelers type team, or the Ravens. I liked our picks. There's a few players that we could talk about. We go on and talk about draft movements and stuff like that. But the players we got, man, some people are not excited about Kenny G. I don't know why you're not excited. Just potentially not having to depend on Benito Jones and Deshaun Hand to make a play, a stop on 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2. I think Kenny G gives you at least that play going forward. And if some people were talking about 40 to 50 snaps, and that's what it is, whatever, bro. And Jonah, some people might say we give up too much to go get Jonah, but I don't think so, because only two tackles went in the second round, and he was one of them. So he wasn't going to be there. He was not going to be there. So you can say what you want, you gave up too much. I don't think so. I think we did the right job. We did the right thing. I love, love, love the last pick. That last pick was like a sprinkles, dog. Like, Georgia Tech defensive tackle Biggers is not just no slouch now. And even though it shows you, you're here to compete. Like, they bought a bunch of defensive tackles that y'all better compete. Hey, listen, ain't nothing guaranteed. You're going to get this turkey. You're going to get this turkey. So to me, this drive, a lot of these guys are team captains. Some of these guys won championships. I like the vision. I like the leadership. I love this draft. This is one of my favorite drafts of the Dolphins.
And speaking of leadership, Wally, I totally agree. I love the guys. You kind of do a little research on all of them, and you kind of see the hunger, the leadership to be great. It feels like we're, like OJ said in the previous podcast we had with him, that the culture, that identity. And I feel like that's what we did this past draft, by getting the trenches, because that's where you have to start. So with that being said, French, in your opinion, after what we have, do you still have that same mindset that we now have acquired 5 to 7 starters based on the guys selected?
Yeah, I'm happy with it, but I'm not being complacent. Like Kobe Bryant said, job not done yet. These guys got to come in here and earn that turkey. And like Wally said, you got to show that y'all belong. And Wally, the one thing that these defensive tackles, to what you said with that last pick of the draft, we're going to see what this offensive line made of. These young boys coming in fighting for a job on that defensive side of the ball going to be out here giving that offensive line that work. So we're going to see what this offensive line got. So that iron sharpening iron, specifically in the trench side of the ball, is going to pay dividends, and we're going to see who rises to the top. I look at what Weaver is able to do on that defensive side of the ball, so I like the mindset of this team, and they adapt to that defensive side of the ball. And with that cornerback from Florida, Wally, remember what we talked about when we talked about it? Florida, they got them cornerbacks. You know, I'm not saying, but listen, them Florida cornerbacks got that dog. You ain't just no cornerback at Florida. You know what I mean, Wally? Like, you just don't become a wide receiver after you. You know, you got some stripes and some merit to get there, and you are earning your turkey while you're there, because look who he's going against every week. Talk about it.
I think we got a couple starters, dog. Things have gotten heated with people. I've seen a few people saying wild stuff, man. And it's like, I think just people are just miserable, dog. Like, it's disgusting how miserable some of these people are, and I poo-poo on everything, because I get it, bro. Like, sometimes when you have you do your research and you spend your time, you want a team to take the players you have on your list, and you feel like the team didn't do a right job by taking players, especially when they were on the board and you didn't take them and you passed them over rounds and rounds. I get it, bro. But people are poo pooing the queen, the Ewers pick. Like, oh, I hate this kid. Do I gotta tell you how much I hate this pick? Like, bro, word. Like everything doesn't have to be like what you think sometimes in a negative aspect. Like, let this kid get to the turkey. Like, let's see what's up. Some of these people were excited for Skylar Thompson. What are you talking about? Some people that poo-pooed on Jason Marshall were excited about Cam Smith. Like, well, I mean, like, what are we talking about? Kenny G's not that guy, bro. Yeah. Word? You really wanted to bring Calais Campbell all that's back? What are we talking about? I like this a lot, bro. I think we got dogs, man. And Jordan Phillips might be a sneaky steal at this draft, though. And the name is just not, I mean, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that this Jordan Phillips is the guy that we're gonna definitely want to see. So let's stick to the defensive side, kind of break it down each player. Obviously, with the 13th pick, Kenneth Grant is the guy. So of course we can all agree he is expected to start. He's going to be a starter, hopefully an impact player. What is your expectation of him heading to this upcoming season? Are you predicting he's going to be a sack type of person, maybe a little bit of everything, run defense, penetrator, just kind of give that pressure in that interior defensive line and cause havoc? What about you, French? What are your expectations for him?
Well, what I would say is I expect a three down defensive tackle. A lot of times they say, oh, he's good at only stopping the run, and they're expecting a two down defender. I'm expecting for him to be a two down defender. But on third down, Wally, I'll kind of toss it to you as far as what this question is. Do you think, you know, we pull him off the field on third down? What kind of impact are you looking for him to be able to stay on the field on third down, Wally, as far as Kenneth Grant?
I don't think he's going to be on the field on third down because it's not because of him.
Let's talk about it. This is a good conversation.
It's because of the dogs we have. Like, I think he has to earn being on the field because you have a sealer. You have guys here that you might put a Jordan Phillips, you might put a Chubb. It depends on health because it was said that he has to work on his pass rushing skills. But if he's a space eater, man, why not? Why not? It's supposedly he has, I've seen a few plays where he fast passes down. So I don't know, he might be a low weapon.
Wally, when I look at when we have those drives with those mobile quarterbacks, it's always up the A and B gaps once the defensive ends have done their job and gotten, and granted, the tackles do their job kicking the defensive ends out. When you kick them out that far and the quarterback see that A and B gap kind of open up because that initial pressure from that defensive tackle isn't collapsing that presence in that pocket, that's where you get the quarterbacks running. To your point, Wally, if we see on third down, he's able to eat up that space and hold that pocket so those defensive ends can be able to climb up and get those hands, because those defensive ends are doing their job, but that pocket isn't folding back enough to collapse that range for that defensive end to put their hands on that quarterback. Because you see with these defensive ends, when that defensive tackle collapses that pocket within that 2-yard to 3-yard depth point of attack, that defensive end is able to then reach out with those longer ranging arms and get a hand on the ball and be able to kind of maul away and be able to turn over a turnover. So it might not always end in a sack, Wally, but that's how you get the turnover. That's how you get like the strip fumble.
It's just gonna take a lot, bro. He has to win 1-on-1 matchups, and he's a maverick. I think he could do it. It all depends on the health. I think Chubbs and Phillips are gonna be healthy come training camp. Like, Chubbs for sure. Like, Chubbs is not – I don't think Chubbs is in the PIP, the pup list, whatever. Like, he's not in the PIP. He's not in the pup list. So, I expect a crazy defensive line off the get. But I think if the kid is destructive, man, so he could collapse. He could kill that pocket. Man, look, Vince Wilfork didn't come off the field. I think he could be Vince Wilfork. He has the athleticism. He moves fast. He reminds me a lot of Vince Wilfork.
Well, mechanic, yeah, I get what you're saying, but mechanic, let me ask you this. In the point of what Wally's talking about as far as not coming off the field, would you agree that we need to slow roll? I would slow roll Chubb into the season. I would ramp him up going into the fall, where granted, you can be happy and healthy, but I don't need him giving it 100% in September. October, I don't need it at all. I don't need that in my life. I need these young bulls earning that stripe and getting that wear and tear on them. So when the fall rolls around and you need that expertise at certain spurts, you got those guys fresh. So I feel like this would give us a little bit more depth. What do you think about that mechanic?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think ultimately this is a defense that's liked to rotate their front. So we'll see a lot of the young guys, the Biggers, the Phillips, any other guys, even with Benito and Grant, they'll have some type of rotation and depending on the matchups and all that stuff. So we'll see that. Certainly with Chubbs, you do want to see where he's at, especially Phillips as well, see where he's at and see, you know, not give them too much on their plate as they kind of ramp it through the season. But I think that's what they're going to ultimately do to keep them fresh, to keep once on third downs, Phillip and Chubb can be out there and perform and get the necessary sacks we needed. So I can see that. The great thing about this draft is that we selected guys that haven't got any injury history like that. I think Grant played a good amount of significant snaps at 340 pounds where he said that he likes to be comfortable with. And I think the team will definitely will tell him where they want him to be. And he will perform, and I think he will do that. So the rotation of the defense is going to be huge for them, keeps them fresh. And then not only that, you have them young. So now you're not dealing with a hand who's, you know, he was serviceable, but he was a seasoned vet, and he just wasn't enough talent to take us over the top at that D-tackle role. So, yeah, I feel you on that one for sure. Now, moving on to Jordan Phillips and Biggers, those are the guys I think that, like I mentioned, are part of the rotation. Not sure what you're expecting. I think you can consider being contributor / starter if it needs somebody gets hurt. What are your expectations for them? Do you see them as somebody kind of like that puts in quality minutes? And what type of expectation of performance you expect them to have? Go ahead. I'll start with you, French.
Well, what I would say is I expect to see quality minutes from Phillips. And when I say quality minutes, I mean, this guy's, we are going to have a rotation of guys. And listen, when we get to the draft, the cuts, we're going to have to talk because this defensive side of the ball is going to have to also kind of carry this team as we go into this next part of the season. And I'll talk about that on my agenda as we go moving forward. But we're going to need these defensive pieces, specifically on the defensive line, and these guys to give us quality minutes, whether it's Phillips, whether it's Grant. And I'm not talking about the last player, but I told you we needed 6 to 7, and I said 6, but 6 quality starters and contributors. And I feel like we got 3 of them, and those other 3 guys are the contributors we need. What do you think about that, Wally?
3. What are your 3? KG, Jonah.
I mean, what do you talk about Phillips? Phillips is going to get started and burn. He's going to get burned in the rotation. Listen, I would legitimately only have Phillips and Chubb out there on third down pass rushing. Legit. Burn them young knees up on first and second down. Third down, get off the field. Go put Chubbs and Phillips out there. One play, get off the field. That's the NASCAR package you're talking about, Wally.
I say, you know, they're going to be able to play, but they got to earn it, dog. These are men, bro. These are men. So you got to see what's up. These are men. You got to see what's up. Because
I mean,
you got to go. Benito Jones has been a Buffalo. He struggled. He's got his butt whooped, but he's got a Buffalo. Buffalo got his butt whooped.
Some of them young Bulls can say, Wally, is we ain't never got beat. We ain't never got beat by Josh Allen.
I respect it. You got to take that energy, that type of energy, but I like the upside. I like the upside on all these kids. I like the upside on all of them. But to say, I can't sit here and tell you how many starters, how many non-starters you got. I believe that KDG is going to be a contributor. I believe that Jordan Phillips, for sure, he'll be a rotational player. Marshall, I don't know about Marshall. I think he's slotted CB3 on both sides. He has that's an uphill climb. You got to go against him.
The dudes I talked to about Ollie, they say he could run between them tackles. He could take that contact.
He's RB3, RB4 right now, fighting with Madison. And Madison's an NFL ready player. So you got to see what's up.
Mechanic, if they even, we leaving. I'm going with the rook.
Well, let's transition to the offense. I do think Once it's all about playbook, right? He has the ability. He seems like a physical running back. He's not fast, but he's the type that we're looking for, that bruiser in the interior that can run through small holes and paws from the offensive line, and probably yards after contact type of player. But it's all about if you're going to learn the playbook, and that's what's going to make the difference from him taking over Madison as opposed to being behind him. I don't know if you guys agree. Do you think that he has the mental knowledge to surpass Madison as a vet? Because they're on equal footing, but the slight edge might be on Madison because he is a vet. But if Ollie takes over and understands the playbook and his ability shines on that playbook and he's comfortable, I can see it. I don't know if y'all agree with that.
I would say to temper your expectations, because you know how hard this playbook is. Jalen Wright was as talented, was supposed to be a good blocker as well. So we're kind of getting, so you got to temper your expectations. But I will tell you one thing. We have a better offensive line, so it might be easier for him to get on the field with a better offensive line. He might get some burn.
For sure. And that's another thing I want to talk to you, French. Jonah. Jonah is a guard who played O-line who played tackle on both sides. So he's comfortable in positional stance on both, but is slotted to play guard because of how he was presented in the draft. He's a guard, point blank period. So where is your comfortability? Because he's going to start. Let's just get it out the way. Liam, you're depth. Like we said, Wally, right? We've been saying that. Liam is depth. But people don't believe us. They kicked us out of space with that. So where are you comfortable with him, French, left or right?
I mean, wherever the coaches feel. I mean, they're going to get out there and run these guys and see. I would say left because I know he can kick out the right tackle. I think that's where he played. He kicked out to right tackle, but I know they're spotted to play him on the left side, which I like him next to Paul. I like what that might look like with him, Paul, and Brewer. That might be a good run side of the ball, you know, and then you'd be able to shore up to a blind side with a vet and another vet. You know, I like what that looked like. So I like what that looked like, and I'm interested to see what he can give as far as getting to that second level and being able to seal up some of these blocks. Because you see there were plays last season where if Eichenberg would have gotten to that block, it would have been like a key explosion or a key burst in kind of a play that broke out into, you know, 30, 40 yards down the field.
Wally, I know you on the same wavelength because we argued about this. And I ain't going to lie to you, I'm comfortable as well to put him on left guard because of just who he is. I know he has a little more experience at right due to him playing at the Senior Bowl. I don't know if he played guard in college, but he did play left tackle. So kicking inside won't be a big transition. Let's make it official. Where are you comfortable with him playing?
Left. I want him at left, but as what Alf said and these boys said, it's like you kind of have to put him, you could shield him between Brewer and James Dan and Austin Jackson. So instead of being between a Patrick Paul and a Brewer, I mean, you know, Austin Jackson has his own, Patrick Paul has his own thing. So I don't know how much that will be. I think in the beginning of camp, they're going to try my both positions. So I think James Daniels makes this transition easier because he could play either guard position, but we really, really have to see. For me, I want James Daniels at right guard. I think that's where he dominates. And I think if you keep the kid on the side that he's been playing his entire life, he'd be all right. I might say, did he play right guard in the Senior Bowl? But dog, he's a left tackle. He wasn't a right tackle. He's a left tackle. I trust Butch. Whatever Butch wants to do with these guys, man, let him do it. I'm comfortable with him playing wherever they put him at.
Listen, the great thing about this situation is he is a guy that's going to do well wherever he is. It's all a matter of fitting the piece to the puzzle where it fits. So left or right, I just know he's going to be great. I'm calling it out right now. He's going to be great. So it's just
I think if we would have done this with Leo, it would have been a way better outcome with him. Because we try to put Lee on my left tackle. We did just put Lee on my right guard or left guard. He probably would have been a way better player.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Because Liam, even though he looked better at right guard, it still wasn't good. And I can sit there and say that. I'm comfortable in saying that. As much as a supporter of him throughout his career, you know, I fought tooth and nail to defend Liam. He just wasn't consistent enough. The temperament wasn't there enough for me. And he was just always, it just wasn't good enough, man. I mean, he's a great depth piece. He understands each position. He understands the responsibility. And in a pinch, he will get the job done. But if you give him consistent gameplay, game after game, it's just not going to look good. And his limitations always outshines the positives in each position he played, even at his best at right guard. Well, French, do you agree with that?
He's good for a couple of plays, but not for a game. If you had to come in because something happened, a helmet went off, and you had to swap it out, and he came in to play a series to drive you down the field to get your guy back on the field, I'm cool with that. Drive 3, drive 4, drive 5, drive 6, that's when it's going to drive you crazy. But I like what you're saying as far as, like, I get what you're saying, Wally, as far as that. But listen, if he started on that right side and he pushing for Madison, what are we doing on that left side? And maybe that's a good question to have, because then you want to go get somebody else, because at the end of the day, you want the best 5 on the line. And whether or not you're moving some guys around to get that best 5, you know, we're going to see. I mean, I like him playing on either side. I like him on the left, but I don't know. We'll see. And we swap it around, swap the rules. That's just me.
Yeah. Either way, we're cooking with fish grease either way. So let's end this here, because this has been the controversial thing and we finally did it. Greer mentioned about investing not only in free agency, but also in the draft for quarterback. We know the situation with Tua. We know that staying healthy has been an issue. So now we have to have contingency plans. We got Zach Wilson, a young, talented quarterback who struggled. Number 2 overall pick, I think, right? Number 1 or number 2, and hasn't lived up to that expectation. So now he's here as a backup. And now we have Ewers from Texas, a guy who has a similar style of offense. So he will be comfortable in the system. It's just a matter of learning in the NFL, learning the concepts of defense in the NFL, and see if he can be somebody. What are your thoughts on him, French? Do you see him as a legitimate competition for Wilson as the number 2 spot QB?
I mean, I feel like this is a good bar for him. First, another former Wilson was a number overall pick, but I mean, if he can come in and is competent enough to be able to pose a threat for that starting 2 position or look like a competent 3, I mean, that bodes for that overall position. If something does to happen to Tua, we've gone through 3 quarterbacks in the overall season. So, I mean, if the more competent he looks, the better for the overall program. And it's going to be also an indictment on the coaching staff as far as, you know, I feel like this is Mike McDaniel's pick too. You know, you're going to go get your, you know what I mean? You can't be swinging on all these guys at these points and missing on all these late developmental draft picks, because if you're swinging and missing on all these late developmental draft picks, what's even the point of swinging if you're not really drafting them in any capacity to really contend? You could draft another position that give you a little bit more versatility, or at 5, go get, you know, another guy to really come in and show you something, like a Shedeur Sanders in the 5th. And really and put the emphasis on it. But, you know, it shows me what they feel about the room at this point, and I'm going to take them at that word.
Yeah, man. Wally, I don't know how you feel about yours. Certainly, I'm a wait-and-see guy. I'm not really impressed. I didn't do much evaluation on him, but all I know is he came from a similar scheme in offense, so he's going to be comfortable, and to learn it, it's just a matter of him understanding NFL defense. What are your thoughts on him?
Texas guy.
And he's a Texas guy. So do you like him? Do you like his play? Do you think he can compete at QB2? What are your thoughts? Not at all, huh?
He's another Zach Wilson. He's a big arm kid with the tools and stuff like that. Look, bro, when we were talking about Xavier Worthy and the Texas receivers, we were talking about how the quarterbacks were helping him up, and he was their quarterback. Is that something he could fix? Hopefully, but not really, bro. Who cares? It's a seventh round draft pick. Yeah, didn't we draft a long snap? Let's talk about Biggers, man. Biggers is that's a way better top prospect. He can actually make the team. It's a big man. Like Georgia Tech, that defense and that wasn't bad. They were giving you like fits. So I like that kid.
I think Jordan Phillips and Biggers replaces Campbell and Hand. Or am I tripping? I don't know how it goes, but I think that, right? I think those guys, Biggers definitely will make the team. And I think Jordan will be there too. So
I can't wait to talk about the undrafted free agents.
If you're in a position to where Biggers and Phillips take the position of Hand, Benito, listen, you cooking with you are cooking with fish grease on high.
Mm-hmm. Benito's not. He's just a nose tackle, dog. He's not going nowhere. But that's a big man.
But
Kenny G, if Kenny G takes a spot,
but
they eat a lot.
They eating eggs. They eating 20, you know how much it is?
Yeah, that's like $6 a pop, man. Like God,
I got it. I might even be suspended for a little
bit. Hey, listen, before we head out, man, let me get y'all final grade for the drafted 1 through 7. Wally, I'll start with you. What is your overall grade for the draft?
I'm at a B, man. I think they did what they're supposed to do. It's not a B plus or an A because I wanted them to trade back to the third round and they traded back, which is insane. But you ended up with a player like Jordan Phillips and Jason Marshall with those trade backs. And overall, the name and the ceiling of the players for where you got them is kind of like really, really good. But there's a reason why those players were there when you got them. I would have loved to had a Ravel or Amos. But we got Jonah and Kenny G. If just those two work out how dire we've been, and I like Trader. Trader's a great pick for me. I think Trader's going to be a starting safety. He might not be the starter this season, but give him a season and then some change. He's going to turn some heads. He's going to be a really, really difference maker too. And we're drafting for upside. We haven't done this. We haven't had ceilings. We just had guys like, so I like this. I don't want to give it an A because it's too early, but we might revisit this draft and be like, this is one of the most impactful Dolphin drafts in years. It has a chance to be that.
French, what about you, man? What, based on the draft, who we got, we talked about a little bit of most of them, trench warfare. They met your expectation as far as those expects, what you wanted. What is your grade for this draft?
I started when I said, what I said a couple of weeks back, I said, nothing they're going to do is going to get me off the C minus. Remember that? They got me to a C plus. I gave it a C plus. The only thing changed for me was the effort. The effort changed. Okay. But you still got to show it. You still got the C. You still got the C, bro. It was a C minus, which was a D plus. I give you a C plus, which is a B minus. You got to ration that out between your parents. C plus just shows me, hey, better effort. C plus.
Right.
How does this guy say we found six contributors? It gives it a C plus.
Listen, unless the rationale is you found them. Now, what's going to take it over the top is, can they show that on the field and make an impact? So, I mean, if you can word it that way, C plus is good, but now it can turn into a B or A. If on 2025 season, you see guys like Dante Trader, Jordan Phillips, Jason Marshall, those guys are competing and made some form of contribution or impact, then I'm sure, right, French?
In our division, more than anybody else division, we're going to find out. We're going to find out quick. You see the quarterback you got, you're going to find out quick.
Right, right. I feel you. I see the vision. I'm not going to – Wally, I was thinking the same thing, but I was like, you know what? But I understand French's perspective, and that makes sense. For me, I give them a B minus. It's a difference between 79 to 80 based on the academic metric. I'll leave that to y'all. That's subjective, but I give them an 80 B minus. I think that the defensive line is some of the guys we talked about, Kenneth Grant, Jordan Phillips, and even Biggers, who have been mentioned by Wally and Chad and others a lot. Those are the guys that I definitely was looking for in this draft. Now, some guys that I was hoping to get from the DB room were gone and not likely could have gotten them based on where we are. I'm hoping to see good upside on, especially Dante Trader. He intrigues me. I like his style. I like how he plays.
It's on my list.
Now, Jason, I'm going to wait and see. I don't know about him, but Jason, I'm going to wait and see. But Dante Trader is a guy that I'm interested in, intrigued, and I'm interested to see. That's why I gave him the B-. And then, of course, Ewers, I understand he plays with the system. That kind of gave it a little bit over the top, but I heard a lot of mixed reviews on him, so I need to see what he looks like as well. I hope that he can be a guy at seventh round, comes in and takes over that corner, quarterback two spot, and is I can feel confident that he will be a guy that if and when Tua is hurt, that he can step in and make plays for us. So that's where I'm at.
It's so crazy. I said six starters out of these draft picks, and they're talking about six people starting. It's so crazy when I say it, they say it. It sounds, but I'm glad it's on wax so that people can go back and make their own mind up.
Bro, we just be out here saying the most lies and stuff just like that.
The man. Most lies. It's
a
insane.
C plus, a C minus, or C plus.
That guy, the quarterback, the cornerback. We got the other, bro, it's so crazy. God forbid that cornerback hit. My goodness.
Right, right. I really hope he does because he has the length, the speed. So,
yeah, I got it on my
yes, sir. Now, hey, listen, before, go ahead. Well, go ahead, back.
No. If the cornerback hits, we're like at an A plus. Like, what are we talking about? Like,
on God. Yeah. True facts.
Like, well, leave me alone, friends. I'm tired of you.
Listen, without being said, any final words before we head out of here?
Man, I can't wait till we talk about the undrafted free agents. That's
boy.
Yeah, that's what I'm
That's even more exciting. But French, I don't know if you saw the list. Not only we went offensive heavy, but we got some quality offensive line that I like. And of course, there's a safety that I like. Oh my God, I'm excited to hear about that. But go ahead. What's your final thoughts?
And weapons.
Yes, yes.
On the next episode, I'll expose my new agenda.
Yes, sir. I can't wait for that. So, guys, once again, appreciate y'all for tuning in. Please subscribe on all platforms, Spotify, Apple, even on YouTube. We got a couple of great shorts in line for you. And also, please, if you haven't listened to it, listen to some of our previous podcasts, OJ, Isaiah Small, Jordan Vanek. Those guys were really good shows to listen to. I know the draft is over, but they gave a lot of good nuggets on the approach of evaluating players and what is the expectation of this team. So tune into those. Hit the like and follow. Comment, rate. Give us a shout out, man. Follow all of us, man. Appreciate y'all for joining us. This is Inside Leverage.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Kachava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at kachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code FITNESS.